next speaker from Santa Barbara Channel Keeper, and then a speaker from NorCal Program.
Environmental Justice.
Environmental Justice. Citizens for Water Quality.
DIPTY.
DIPTY. And then Nathan Alley from EDC. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. For folks who are standing, again, we have empty chairs. I know there are a few up here. So anyone who has an empty chair next to them, you raise your hand, please. So there are a bunch of empty chairs throughout here if you would like to have a seat.
Good afternoon. My name is Kira Redmond, and I'm the executive director of Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. Channel Keeper is a nonprofit environmental organization dedicated to protecting and restoring the Santa Barbara Channel and its watersheds. We represent nearly 1,000 members throughout Santa Barbara County. And we speak to you today as a community-based organization that has developed a deep appreciation for the impacts that irrigated agriculture is having on our waterways. Channel Keeper has become established as an expert on water quality conditions in our region. We developed this expertise over the past decade by developing and implementing a variety of water quality monitoring programs. One of these, our Stream Team program, was initiated in 2001. Since that time, we've collected water quality samples and measurements from over 20 sampling sites in the Goleta and Elwood watersheds. Our Stream Team program is a community-wide effort, and since its inception, we have engaged more than 9,000, more than 800 volunteers in the program. The data that we've collected for nearly a decade and submitted to the regional board demonstrates that the streams we monitor in agricultural watersheds are nearly universally contaminated by agricultural pollutants. Although our data, along with data from other programs, indicate that nitrate contamination is slowly improving in some of these watersheds, the fact remains that the vast majority of our streams are heavily impaired by nutrients, pesticides, and sediment, and many of these streams show no signs of improvement. Currently, nearly every stream in agricultural areas in our region is listed on the 303D list of impaired water bodies for agricultural pollutants. Regionally, we're extremely troubled that agricultural contamination appears to be getting worse, as described in the staff's assessment of water quality conditions. Thousands of individuals are drinking contaminated water or are paying higher prices for treatment or replacement water. Aquatic ecosystems in many areas have been completely destroyed by toxic agricultural pollutants. Riparian vegetation and streamside buffers continue to be decimated despite efforts to educate growers about the benefits these systems provide. It's clear that the existing ag order is not effectively improving water quality conditions. And for this reason, Santa Barbara Channel Keeper strongly supports the direction that staff has taken to make the draft order more protective of water quality. I'd like to highlight just a couple of the areas within the existing program in particular that desperately need improvement. The first critical issue that has to be addressed is the existing ag waivers monitoring requirements. The waiver was developed to regulate irrigated discharges. However, the existing monitoring program does not require that any individual discharges are monitored. Instead, the program has developed a network of ambient in-stream monitoring sites throughout the region. The agricultural industry specifically selected these sites because they do not enable individual problematic discharges to be identified. As a result, it is now impossible, more than 5 years later, to identify which growers have or have not made progress in improving water quality conditions. This obviously severely hampers enforcement and also makes it impossible to verify the adequacy and effectiveness of the existing waiver. Channel Keeper firmly believes that the focus of the ag waiver monitoring should be on individual dischargers, not ambient in-stream conditions. Requiring individual discharge monitoring will provide many benefits. It allows for verification that the program is working. It allows growers to make informed farm management decisions based on information that is specific to their farm. It also provides growers with a way to demonstrate that they are protecting water quality, therefore allowing them to be excluded from additional regulatory requirements. Most importantly, discharge monitoring further dramatically improves enforceability of the program by identifying problematic discharges. Channel Keeper believes that certain existing monitoring requirements also need to be improved. Chief among these is the addition of provisions to require that dissolved oxygen monitoring is conducted in the early morning. Unless DO measurements are taken immediately before dawn, they will not accurately diagnose potential anoxic conditions. My organization has conducted numerous studies that demonstrate the importance of timing in DO monitoring. This condition is clearly illustrated in the graph on the screen there, where the blue lines indicate measurements collected by us before dawn, and the yellow lines indicate measurements collected later that same afternoon. Since nutrient impairments are one of the major issues facing water bodies in our region, the monitoring program needs to collect information that will determine whether or not eutrophication is occurring. Collecting DO measurements in the middle of the day is not adequate and is actually very misleading. This is a huge flaw in the program. Automated instruments exist and can be utilized to make collection of these measurements possible, and they should be required. Until these requirements are incorporated into the program, growers will be wasting their money on data that are of no use. Channelkeeper also believes that dramatic improvements need to be made to the stormwater management requirements. Stormwater requirements in the existing ag order are minimal and extremely vague. Stormwater from farms continues to be a major source of pollution to our streams, and these photos depict one such source on San Jose Creek during a recent 1/2-inch rain event. As you can see, runoff discharge to the stream from agricultural sources was extremely contaminated with sediment. These photos depict conditions immediately upstream and downstream of this discharge. There's no question that this single agricultural discharge is significantly contributing to sediment loading in San Jose Creek. These photos illustrate an even more egregious yet very common problem associated with the widespread lack of best management practices implemented to address contaminated running off fallow fields. When fields are not in operation, it's common that BMPs are not maintained. Sediment from this facility off Foothill Road near Carpinteria inundated drainage ditches, swept over the road, and ultimately was transported directly to Arroyo Paradon Creek via the storm drain system. This type of discharge can have significant negative effects on aquatic ecosystems. These sediments are not only harmful in themselves, but they transport additional agricultural pollutants to local streams and the ocean. It's not uncommon for agricultural lands to remain fallow and without stormwater BMPs throughout the rainy season. These photographs were taken of facilities very close to the one shown in the last slide. In more intensive agricultural areas, these sites can span tens to hundreds of acres, posing a serious threat to water quality. Agricultural facilities are comparable to giant construction sites. Stormwater discharges from industrial facilities and municipalities are highly regulated by the regional board to protect water quality, as they should be. Strict, defined requirements have been developed for these entities. The agricultural industry should not be treated differently from other dischargers. They must be held accountable for stormwater pollution. Channelkeeper therefore urges that stormwater requirements in the draft order be enhanced and improved so that they're on par with similar requirements imposed on other dischargers. So I reiterate Channelkeeper's support for the regional board staff, the effort they've made to date to update the ag waiver. We strongly support the development and incorporation of numeric discharge requirements, as well as requirements for groundwater monitoring, streamside buffers, and riparian protections. We also support the incorporation of strict but realistic timelines and milestones for compliance. Channelkeeper appreciates that many in the agricultural community have already made sincere and commendable efforts to improve water quality conditions by reducing runoff, controlling chemicals, and implementing best management practices. We believe that because of these efforts, these growers will not be significantly affected by many of the new requirements staff is proposing, such as individual discharge monitoring. We also strongly believe, however, that far more needs to be done to protect our water supplies, streams, wetlands, and beaches from agricultural pollution. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has a legal obligation and a responsibility to protect water quality and beneficial uses for all Central Coast citizens. It is therefore incumbent on you to take decisive action to fix and strengthen the agricultural regulatory program. There's no question that agriculture is a major cause of pollution in our region. It's high time that agriculture be required, like all other major dischargers, to clean up its act. Many proactive farmers have demonstrated this is possible without going bankrupt. If the rest can't reduce the discharge of pollutants, implement necessary best management practices, and comply with water quality standards, if they can't get by without using the environment as another subsidy, without poisoning our water and ruining its use and enjoyment by the rest of us, then they probably shouldn't be in business. The vast majority of Central Coast citizens want and need the Regional Water Board to protect them from toxic and dangerous pollution from agriculture. They have a right to clean water. Please don't let them down. Thank you.
Mr. Jeffries.
Yes, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
On the photographs that you showed us, where are they located and when were they taken?
Some of them were San Jose Creek in Goleta, and the others were in Carpinteria.
And what year were they taken?
Ben?
Or what month?
San Jose Creek was taken 2 years ago. Carpinteria,
what was the date? I can't remember.
He said
San Jose Creek was
2 years ago, and then the other ones were this winter? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, environmental justice.
This is actually Horatio.
It is. Okay.
Well, the second one.
Are there?
If you'll allow us, I'm actually Debbie Davis with the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. I'll be doing the 15-minute piece, but if we can have Horacio Amezquita, who is your next speaker, do his piece, which will be a 10-minute piece.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Horacio Mezquita, and I come to represent the community of San Gerardo. This is Fernanda Quiroz and Jose Hernandez. They're also members of the cooperative. And I just want to tell you a little bit about what happened in the community about water pollution. That community is made up of 64 families and a child care center. And since 1992, the first well was contaminated with nitrates. In 1994, the second well was contaminated with nitrates. And in 2001, the third well was contaminated with nitrates. And it's because of that, the county had to step in because there was a lot of people getting sick. They had rashes, their hair was falling down, their eyes were red, and other abnormalities that were happening with the people. As you can see on the map, the property line there, everything is surrounded by agriculture. They have to deal with pesticides, herbicides, but that was not much of a problem. The problem was when the water was contaminated. In 2001, they were putting bottled water for about 6 years. It was 25 gallons per week, and then they reduced it to 15 gallons per week. Those filters, the county in 2006 pulled the filtration system in order to take the nitrates and the trichloropropane out of the well. As soon as they put in the filtration system, the people got well. They were not sick no more. So most of the nitrates that are going into the wells, as soon as the winter comes and the farmers stop farming, the nitrates go down. They go about 40 parts per million. And it's just been happening that sometimes when the agriculture industry is going full load, it goes up to 100 parts per million. So in 2005, when people were getting sick, we asked the Monterey County Supervisors for help because people were getting sick and there was nobody was helping. The county stepped in and they put the filtration system and they help out. And then the water board also helped the county to get some money for the filtration system. But the federal government with the Obama administration gave some money and San Gerardo was able to get some money to put a new well. The new well is going to be like 2 miles away from the place, and it has to be pumped with more energy, and it's going to be about $113 per household. right now they're paying $20 to $30. There's a lot of people like this lady. She only depends on Social Security. She has to pay rent, water, gas, food. And it's with this $113, on top of that, she's not going to have enough money to do other things, just food and shelter. So, the when they started the filtration system, it was $15,000 a month. Now it's running between $17,000 to $18,000 a month for the county to clean up the water. The cost of the well, the new well, is going to be about $4 million from taxpayers' money. And now most of the new members, they're going to be with a water bill that they didn't have. The agriculture industry was responsible for contaminating this property, and now the community has to pay high fees for the water. This is another community in Chula. They have the same problem as San Gerardo. These people, the county was taking the clean water in water trucks because it was so contaminated, until the county stepped in and helped to fix the problem. So I think that the agriculture industry and any other industry, they have to be regulated. They have to put in their effort to not to contaminate the water. It's got to be a way of working towards having a clean water. Otherwise, the future generations are going to be in worse position than what we are right now. So with that, let me ask this lady if she wants to say something.
Buenas tardes. Buenas tardes a todo el público.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Mi nombre es Fernanda Quiroz. Vivo en nuestra cooperativa San Gerardo. Y así lo que está hablando Horacio es cierto y efectivo.
I am Fernanda Quiroz and I live in San Gerardo, and everything Gerardo is saying is true and is the fact.
Y lo que queremos es que haya agua limpia.
We want clean water.
Agua limpia, por favor.
Please.
Y que los rancheros me disculpen, pero que no se sientan mal, pero tienen que ver con compasión.
She doesn't want to offend any of the growers, but she asks for compassion.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I think that's our presentation. I just want to say that our community is one of the many communities that are suffering. I've been traveling all over California after I got involved with San Gerardo, and there's so many communities that have the same problem, like in Apa and other places in San Joaquin Valley. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. I think we have a couple of questions before we get to the other half of your presentation. Dr. Hunter?
Is my mic? Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mesquita. Can you tell me just a little more about Chular? What's the population there, and have they had any assistance? Are they requiring another source of drinking water, or just a few more details on Chular?
Yeah, the Chular is a small town, and San Gerardo is only 350 people. And it's only 64 houses and a child care center. The town of Chula is a little bit bigger. It's probably, I don't know how many was the population, but it's probably like 2,000 or 3,000 people. And the problem occurred before we had this problem, so I was just going there as an activist. But I know that the water they were getting from, it was the county step in to bring clean water in trucks. Otherwise, it was they needed so much water that they even bought a truck to bring the water. So the problem, it was fixed with the help of the county and a private company. I don't remember which company, but they fixed the problem, and they were going to raise the rates, but the county again and the utilities commission stepped in, and they kept the rates low.
Thank you.
And question I have for you, what type of agriculture right now is active in around your area?
See, the problem is that area changes with growers. One year you have one grower, another year you have another one. But most of the agriculture there is lettuce, cauliflower, strawberries, beans. Most of the any vegetable that is used in the Salinas area. The problem there is that most of the farmers, there's some good farmers and there's some bad farmers. Good farmers, they take care of the soil, they take care of the water, the nutrients, they use best management practices. But sometimes a bad farmer comes and it just makes everything worse because they use a lot of fertilizer that is not needed. They let so much water run on the ditches, which is not a good thing. And they also spray when there's a lot of wind. So those are not a good farmers.
How deep are your water wells?
Our water wells, they're about 210. And they tried to dig two more wells, and they were contaminated. So they have to go 2 miles away from San Gerardo in order to bring clean water. The project is supposed to be finished in October of this year.
Have you given our staff all of the water quality data from your wells?
We report to the water board, and we report to the Monterey County Health Department, but it's mostly on the wastewater. But since the Monterey County Health Department, the Environmental Division is the one that has all the records, and they have probably 15, 20 years of records. I only have 2 years, and the reason I have them is because I request them, and I've been watching how, as soon as the agriculture industry comes in, the nitrates go up. As soon as, like, when the economy went down, one of the fields next to the well stayed open for about 8 months. The levels of the nitrates went all the way to 48 instead of 106. So it's just a common sense.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, why don't we proceed then with the other portion of your presentation.
Good afternoon. My name is Debbie Davis, and I'm the Policy Director for the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water. We are a coalition of more than 70 community-based and nonprofit organizations around the state, and we're all working together to achieve water justice. And one of the primary issues we work on is safe drinking water. Sadly, there are millions of Californians who cannot turn on their taps and drink their water, and a good proportion of those live right here on the Central Coast. And so I would like to use the time that I have right now to emphasize the costs that you would be conveying and that have already been conveyed upon communities that have been impacted by water pollution. And I hope that as you refine the order, you'll keep in mind that as you shift costs from one constituency, those costs show up in another constituency. And in this case, we're talking about small communities that have very few resources to take care of themselves. I'm embarrassed to have this this graphic here now because the staff did such an excellent job of analyzing the nitrates you have here on the Central Coast. This is actually a generic national distribution of nitrates and nitrate sources. And so I won't even spend any time on this, and I just want to commend the staff for doing such an excellent job of their analysis. I wanted to point out that even the Department of Food and Agriculture has determined that certain areas within the Central Coast are nitrate-sensitive areas. And I think if the Department of Food and Ag can come to that conclusion, that it adds some credibility to the fact that this is an important activity that you all are undertaking, and that it is vital to ensure that you are protecting all of the beneficial uses of water here in the Central Coast. Nitrates, again, we've heard a lot already about what nitrates do, but I think one example is really useful. We've heard stories from community members who come from other countries where mostly they're dealing with microbial contaminants. So when they come to the U.S., they still have in their minds, well, if my water is contaminated, what do I do? Well, I boil it. And so we've seen community members who are boiling nitrate-contaminated water because they think it's cleaning it up, when in fact it's actually just concentrating the nitrates and creating a greater health risk and health hazard. For the communities that are struggling with this issue, you can't just project out what you imagine the average California household will do. You have to imagine the concentrated impacts that are occurring in these small, low-income communities on the coast. So I have a slightly different percentage that's based on Water Education Foundation data, that about 90% of the Central Coast drinking water comes from groundwater. I think the staff said 83%, but suffice it to say that a huge amount of the drinking water here comes from groundwater. And that means as a region, you have very little flexibility. And so as the groundwater aquifers become more and more contaminated, you actually foreclose on opportunities that your region might otherwise have. So I know this room is packed with farmers, and farmers are an important part of the Central Coast economy. Everyone recognizes that. And we certainly are not opposed to farming. Many of the people we work with are the farm workers who farm the land that these farmers own and operate. But what we are suggesting is that use of the land needs to be balanced with other uses and other opportunities and other economies that you have here that thrive on the Central Coast. And if your drinking water is in crisis, you lose access to some of those things. Another challenge you have on the Central Coast is that you have thousands, literally thousands, of small water systems. Just in Monterey County alone, there are more than 10,000 systems. 10,000 systems that serve 200 or fewer people. There is no possible way that they can gain the economy of scale that's necessary to treat the water and deliver it and make it affordable to their residents. That means that for a place like San Gerardo, where they've been able to drill another well 2 miles away, when that well comes up contaminated and the next one comes up contaminated, at some point we will hit a wall where these communities, there's no more aquifer left to access that's not contaminated. And then the question will be, who pays the price at that point? Right now, as Horacio mentioned, Monterey County has been footing the bill, $15,000 or $17,000 a month, to fund the cost of their treatment. What do we do when we have hundreds or thousands of communities that each cost $15,000 a month for water treatment? I don't want to restate what Horacio already said far more eloquently than I can say. But the cost right now is being transferred to community members, and they're paying the price in their own for their own health care to deal with the illnesses that are caused by their exposure to the water. They're paying for bottled water and paying their water bill at the same time. They lose days of work, and literally these are folks who don't have vacation and sick days. So when they miss work, it's literally an impact on their monthly budget. So the interesting thing about the groundwater well data is most of our sampling data is on wells that are currently open and operating. If you look at the data, across all wells, including wells that have been closed, you actually come up with about 50% of the wells in Monterey County being contaminated. And so we're underestimating the problem just focused on the wells that are currently in operation. And so again, you know, I can't emphasize enough that this is a crisis that you've hit, and that's why we're here, and why many of us are here, because we want to applaud the fact that you're taking this on head on. We definitely support the staff proposal. We think it's an affirmative step toward addressing these issues in a substantive way, in a way that actually achieves the net outcome, which is to improve your water quality here in the region. And I think that's the piece that's most important. Whatever the agricultural order actually looks like, it should be judged based upon whether or not it achieves the outcome, based on whether or not your surface water streams and water bodies, whether the water quality is actually improving. It should be based upon whether or not your groundwater quality is improving here in the region. And so that requires monitoring. There's no way around that. And the more monitoring you do, the better your information and the more you can structure a program that's fair to everyone. And I just want to close by saying that I think that I have a hard time swallowing this idea that that upholding the law is a bad thing. And I think that it has taken a huge amount of courage for the staff to stand up and to say, you know, this is the job we've been charged with, and this is the job that this board needs to do. And so, again, I want to commend the staff for their courage and for their excellent analysis and for actually putting together a plan that's designed to uphold the law that you all are charged with upholding. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question or two.
Sure.
For the speaker. Up on your slide, you had 10,245 wells. What geographic location does that cover? Is that all of the Region 3, or is that Monterey County?
So the 10,245, it's actually small water systems that have 200 or fewer connections, and that's in Monterey County.
In Monterey County itself?
In Monterey County
and
itself.
Where did you arrive that number from?
From Monterey County data.
Monterey County Water Resources Agency,
the county Department,
Department
of Public Health, yes.
Environmental Health.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And that would include single wells, right?
It does include single wells, yes.
Individual.
Anything 200 or fewer, right. So individual domestic wells are included.
So that would also include the Prunedale area where they have high problems out there anyway, in that area?
I'm not familiar.
You're not familiar with the Prunedale? Okay. That's North Salinas area.
But I think Mr. Jeffries' question was, that of those 10,000 or so wells, there could be other sources of nitrate contamination besides agriculture.
I was not trying to imply that all, and just to be clear, not all of these 10,000 wells are contaminated beyond state standards today. I was just giving you a scope of the number of systems potentially to be impacted.
Well, the point I was trying to make, and I think the chair pointed it out, that especially in the North Salinas area, the Prunedale has a lot of septic tanks close to their wells, and they have high nitrate contamination of that. And if you put all that in the same bucket, it makes the numbers look much larger than maybe factually that we're talking about as far as agriculture wells.
The great news is that we have the capacity to test and determine the source of the nitrates, whether it's human, animal, versus
I understand
synthetic.
That, but when you put it all in one bucket, if you want to put it that way, of water, it looks like, and it is a very large number, and I was wondering where you got that source from, and it's obvious that you got it from the health department, so consequently that includes the whole county where it may not have agriculture-related problems.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you for your comment.
Sir, if I may ask,
sure.
We brought some community members from really far away, and we need to leave early. Okay. If we can have them come up. There are
okay.
about six of them.
How many minutes do we have left?
Left.
On their two presidents.
Were you talking about just individual cards then?
Yes, the common cards. They're in the common cards, but we need to leave early. And
you're right. Yvonne, right?
Okay.
Is that okay?
They come up. Did they fill out a speaker card?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Can I ask them to come up?
Yeah, have them come up.
Las personas de Maywood y de Santa Paula, si pueden pasar, por favor. And Levon, if you want to come up too. Or yes. Did you want to? They don't have your card there?
Monica, if you could provide their names slowly, please, before they speak. Thanks.
¿Cómo se llama? María Jiménez.
Javier González.
Jesús Padilla. Rufina Morales.
Mi nombre es Javier González y vengo de la ciudad de Maywood. Venimos a apoyar a las personas de toda la región aquí que están pidiendo que se les dé un mejor agua.
I'm coming here to show my support to all the people and staff here who are working towards having clean water.
Venimos desde como 300 millas de Los Ángeles para acá y queremos apoyar a la gente porque nosotros tenemos una agua que el agua es tan contaminada que no la podemos tomar tampoco.
They come from Los Angeles region, like about 300 miles to here, and they are talking about their water down there being also highly contaminated.
Tengo unas familias que viven en Kerman, en ese condado de la pusieron un dompe de basura. Y los niños están haciendo con las de la agua que toman las mujeres, están haciendo con defectos físicos con la nariz o las orejas o los.
In his area, they have installed a disposal area, and he's saying that the babies are being born with deformities and problems in the ears and their eyes.
Queremos que la mesa directiva tome cartas en el asunto y pueda pasar una ley donde protejan a todas estas personas que sufrimos de eso, porque tenemos que comprar el agua y nos sale doble el bill ya, comprar el agua para tomar y el agua que usamos para regar.
They ask the board and the regional board to take some...
Gracias.
Pass the proposal and pass some laws that would help them to address these issues that they have. He says they are paying about double the amount of the cost for the buying water somewhere else. And he's coming over here to ask the boards to pass laws to protect them against contaminated water.
Sí, buenas tardes. Yo me llamo María Jiménez.
She's María Jiménez.
De Santa Paula.
She's from Santa Paula.
Y soy de la organización Líderes Campesinas. Y nada, venimos a apoyar a los compañeros de la Costa Central.
They are coming here to support their fellow people that work on her organization in the Central Coast.
Y también apoyamos las recomendaciones para implementar las regulaciones.
She is coming to show support for the new regulations and the new implementation of the ag order.
En la agricultura para que haya comunidades con agua limpia.
She's asking for clean water for all the communities.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Jesús R. Padilla. Yo también vengo de la ciudad de Maywood.
He's coming from Maywood also. His name is Padilla.
Nosotros venimos de como dije, de Maywood, son cerca de 300 millas. Nosotros también recibimos agua. que no podíamos tomar.
They were receiving water that were they couldn't drink it.
Yo soy miembro de un comité cívico del agua que se formó hace un mes y un año y medio. Fuimos a Sacramento y pasó una ley AB 890 que todos la conocemos. Estamos luchando.
Okay, they went to Sacramento to ask for a new to pass some laws to protect them, and I guess thanks to their effort, they passed the law called AB 890.
El gobernador la firmó el año pasado.
Last year was approved.
Nosotros tenemos tres compañías de agua en una ciudad que tiene una milla cuadrada.
They have three water purveyors in a city that has
a square mile.
Ten square miles.
We have three wells. Those are three mutual waters, but it's three different kinds. The three mutual waters are divided. So I belong to one of them that is mutual water number company number two. Okay, ya me puse nervioso.
He's nervous.
No sé si hablo en, quiero hablar en español o en francés, o yo no sé. yo soporto o apoyo que se pasen regulaciones como las que están luchando, las que estamos luchando, porque es injusto que los niños y las personas inocentes nos estén envenenando con tanto químico y tanta.
He's supporting the new regulations because he says it's unfair. People are paying, being contaminated by so many chemicals are being applied.
Nosotros tenemos una ciudad que a lo mejor les hacen todos los químicos que usan todos los agricultores, que se llama Vernon.
In Vernon, he says all the growers are using all the chemicals.
Nosotros soportamos, apoyamos que pasen una ley más rigurosa para que los inocentes no tomen agua contaminada. Gracias.
He's supporting stringent regulations for innocent people.
Thank you very much for giving us the time. I just want to emphasize that all of the folks that came from pretty far away, they're all our former farm workers and are very familiar with how the farms handle the pesticides and fertilizers and chemicals that are placed into the farms, and they want to see a change, and that's why they wanted to travel over 400 miles today to be here. And so I just want to respectfully urge you again to implement the proposed recommendations to protect drinking water for everyone in the Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, Nathan Alley, then Richard Quant, and then we'll have the Multi-Ag Association presentation.